Good morning and welcome to a little different edition of our magazine programme At Home This Morning. It's different because both Richard and I are self-isolating at home, but we hope that the next hour will still provide you with a look at our world, both in and around the city of Brighton and Hove, and even further afield, all for both our older listeners and those not so old. In this show, we'll be hearing from Gemma Taylor from the animal charity Blue Cross, who'll be providing some news on the health of our pets. There'll also be news on the Bluebell Railway, and Juliet Landau-Pope will be telling us how we could save money by tidying our finances with all this spare time we have. And all that, plus Richard and Maya Davis, and a look back at my interview with the much-loved Roy Hudd, who sadly died last month. So that's all to come in this edition of At Home This Morning, a magazine programme that's made for Brighton's only truly local radio station, Radio Reverb, by Grey Matters Productions, and is broadcast on 97.2 FM, DAB Digital Radio, on your smart speaker, and online at radioreverb.com. The pet charity Blue Cross wants to end any misapprehension that our pets can pass on coronavirus to their owners and cut through any misinformation that could perhaps be confusing owners during the, for example, crisis reports from Italy, which suggest that some people have abandoned their pets already. Joining us is Blue Cross's education officer, Gemma Taylor. Good morning, Gemma, and welcome to At Home This Morning.
Good morning.
So what can we do to put our pet owners' listeners' minds at rest?
Okay, so firstly, please do not panic. You know, there is panicking Italy at the moment, so we've heard. There's no need to abandon your pets at this time. Your pets can be your best friend and your stress busters at this time. So we need each other. Simple things like cleaning your hands regularly when you're touching your pet can help keep your pet and you safe and healthy as well. So if you're just following sort of simple guidelines and being sensible about it, pets can be really beneficial to us at this time.
So where do you think the confusion has come from?
I think the confusion's come from, you know, the early reports that it's gone from animal to human. At the moment, the reports are saying that actually dogs can't get COVID-19. However, their hair is like any other surface, so plastic, metal, our clothing. So it's just really important that when you're out and about at the moment walking your dogs, you keep that social isolation of 2 metres away from each other. You don't let anyone pet your dog as well, because you don't want the viruses being transferred from their hair to you. So they're just simple precautions that we can take to keep all safe.
So can pets pass the virus on to each other?
Not that we're aware, but at the moment we don't have much research on this, so we're sort of advising people that they don't kiss and cuddle their dog at the moment, that they wash their hands after petting their dog, just because we don't know much about this virus, and until we know more we obviously can't advise more on it. So it's just keeping clean and being sensible about the situation.
Now if you're taking your dog out for a walk, the dog will meet other animals. Is that wise, or should you keep well clear?
Okay, so I'm being really sensible at the moment, actually, when I'm out and about with my dogs. I've got a nervous dog anyway, so it benefits me to pop them on the lead as soon as I see someone else. So I'm just popping them on the lead as soon as I see someone else, keeping that at least 2 metre distance between us. And I have no qualms about, you know, talking very politely to someone and saying, actually, can you put your dog on the lead at the same time? Because my dog's very nervous, I don't want them interacting. So, you know, communicate with people when you're out and about, but just keep that distance between each other.
What about cats? Because cats are different creatures from dogs, aren't they? They want to hunt in the wild and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. So, obviously, cats are still going to be going out via their cat flaps. I would just, you know, recommend at the moment that people just don't go stroking random animals, because we want to keep their owners safe as well that are in the houses. And we know that obviously a pet's fur is exactly the same as any other surface, just like our clothes as well. So it's just keeping clean, being sensible, washing your hands after stroking your animal as well. And then hopefully that will keep us as safe as possible.
Do you think the pets need a special diet at this time?
Okay, so we're recommending, you know, if you're in self-isolation, you're struggling to get out, do maybe some training in the house, play some fun games with your dogs in the house. We've got loads of information on sort of safe games and toys to play with your dog or your cat on our website. So we're sort of recommending doing that as well as taking them for their one walk a day as well.
And what about your charity, Blue Cross? How are you all coping?
Obviously, you know, it's difficult for us like any other charity or any other business. We've had to close rehoming for 3 weeks along with government guidelines. So we're really concentrating our efforts onto looking after those pets that are in our hospitals and that are in our rehoming services at the moment. And obviously it's critical to keep our staff safe so they can continue working with these animals and keeping them nice, happy and healthy.
You talked about your website. What is the website address?
Yeah, so it's bluecross.org.uk. You can sign up for the special COVID-19 pet-related information as well, which is really useful. We're doing daily information out to pet owners to help give them all the sort of current information that's available to us and passing it on. Really useful site. You can have free education resources for parents at home so that kids can continue learning about pets. We've got training tips and videos on there. So all the information is under one roof. So that's Blue Cross.
And we talked about dogs and cats. What about other animals, rabbits, hamsters, even reptiles?
Yeah, so the same goes for all of the animals, really. Their hair or their skin is just like any other surface, just like our skin as well. So just keep washing your hands and practicing good hygiene is the answer, I think, to all of this at the moment. Just no kissing and cuddling at the moment until we know a little bit more about the virus.
Gemma, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And have a great day and keep safe.
Thank you, Angie.
That was Gemma Taylor from the animal charity Blue Cross. Now, we've all heard the news about businesses being shut down and people being put into furlough. But what about a largely volunteer-run organisation like the Bluebell Railway? Well, to find out, let's hear from their new communications director, Paul Bromley.
The Bluebell Railway is currently shut to visitors because of the coronavirus pandemic. We took the decision that it wouldn't be safe for either our staff, our volunteers, or indeed members of the public to come along to the railway. So we have closed our doors until further notice, but that doesn't mean that the railway isn't continuing to operate. There are some staff who are working from home, and the volunteers are also still engaged in many other projects that they would have been involved in anyway, but just not able to come to the railway's premises.
What does that do to your income stream?
It's had a major impact on the money that the Bluebell Railway receives. We are a not-for-profit organisation, which means whenever we do make a trading surplus, all the money is reinvested in the Heritage Railway. And the model, the financial model, is based on people visiting. The vast majority of the income that the Bluebell Railway receives is from people coming along to the booking offices, buying their tickets either on the day or in advance for all our many events. And that's effectively how the Bluebell Railway is funded. And that money is then used to help in the repair of the locomotives, relaying the track, carrying out all the necessary safety operations to ensure that the Heritage Railway meets exactly the same safety and passenger standards as the mainline railway. And therefore, without that income from our passengers and the paying public, we have a gaping hole in our finances, and that's what we're looking at the moment.
So if people are sympathetic, can they donate money?
Yes, we have set up an emergency appeal along with other organisations as well, but we are obviously stressing that we want people in the first instance to help out the elderly, the vulnerable, and those organisations that are helping the people who are most in need in the pandemic. But if they do have a few coppers to spare, or maybe even something a little larger, then we have an appeal, and the details of how people can find out about the appeal are on our website, which is bluebell-railway.com, and there is a link there to the funding page. And anyone who is a UK taxpayer can gift aid their donation as well, and we would obviously welcome any support from people who may have been on the Bluebell Railway, have fond memories of a day out with us, or who wish to keep the heritage and the work that we do in preserving the best of a bygone era for the benefit of future generations. To keep that work going, we would welcome any financial support that they can give us at this time.
And of course, this year, 2020, was going to be a big anniversary.
Well, it is still a big anniversary. It is our 60th year of operation. The Bluebell was the first standard gauge preserved passenger railway in the UK, opened by a group of volunteers back in August 1960. So we have been operating for 60 years, but we did have very, very big plans to celebrate that in August this year. Whether we are open or not is obviously still subject to review, but it is still our 60th year of operation. And that's why we still want people to keep in touch with the Bluebell Railway and what we are doing. So during this closure period, although the railway is closed, we've tried to keep the lines of communications open. And we've just launched a special publication called the Bluebell Times, which will have all the details of all our activities, plus some fun games and puzzles for children who may be missing the railway, or anyone who has an interest in travel or just has a few minutes to spare in their downtime or stuck at home and want something to do. And that's a general publication. It's not just about the railway. And again, that's available on the website, bluebell-railway.com. It's called the Bluebell Times.
Talking about finances for a moment, it's not a cheap thing, is it, to run a railway like that? It's not just a bunch of fellow-minded enthusiasts. You've got a lot of money to earn every year. What is the turnover?
We have about a £4 million turnover each year, and it is becoming more and more expensive to repair some of these very old locomotives. We have things going right back to the 1870s. We have coaches from every period through from the sort of 1890s right up until the 1960s. Parts and the labour are expensive, and every year we have to spend more and more money just keeping these machines going. So that's why we really rely on the public to come and visit us in order to maintain the service fleet that we have, and also to help us compete as a modern tourist and leisure attraction, because we're not just stuck in the past. We do have to offer the facilities that the modern visitor would expect. They may feel as though they're going back in time, but they also want to have an experience that matches the modern needs of the 21st century.
How important is it to keep steam alive?
It's a vital part of our cultural and industrial heritage. And there are still generations of people who remember when steam trains ran on the mainline railway. But we're also enthusing and exciting a whole new generation. We have many, many school trips and families who come along to the Bluebell Railway. They can learn the mechanics of how a steam engine works, how steam trains operate, and we run special days when they can learn even more about the science, the technology, the engineering and the maths that go behind making steam engines work. So I think it is a very important part of Britain's industrial heritage, and that's what we're trying to keep going through the services that we offer and all the various activities that we would normally be providing were the railway to be currently open.
Talking about opening, any idea when it might happen, the reopening, that is?
We obviously have to still wait and follow government advice on when we can possibly reopen. We will do so as soon as it is practical and safe for everyone to attend. We are obviously still working on various plans and proposals for this year, but otherwise everything is currently under review. We've had to postpone some of our events that were planned for April and the Easter period. Otherwise, some of the other activities we will be taking a look at and see what we can do nearer the time. But we want to make sure that we're in a fit state when we do reopen. And that's why some of the volunteers are still working away on various things, because for them, it is a vital part of their life that they volunteer at the Blue Bear Railway. In fact, there are something like 750 to 800 volunteers who give up their time, including myself and all the fellow board of directors who work on behalf of the railway. We don't get a penny out of it. We just do it for the love of heritage railways and steam railways and seeing all the wonderful smiling visitors after they've had a day out.
And presumably reopening times, when they happen, will be available on the website.
Yes, they will. We'll notify everyone via our website and via our social media channels. We're on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram under Blue Bear Railway, if people search for that. And we will certainly be making a big splash, lots of noise, lots of bells and whistles when we do reopen.
Paul, thank you very much for joining us. We were hearing from Paul Bromley from the Blue Bear Railway. With many of us now working from our home, we have plenty of extra opportunity to manage our day more efficiently and effectively, getting all those jobs we need to be done, done. In particular, those annoying life admin tasks that we put off and delay. And getting on top of these areas allows us not only to feel in control, but also savour the accomplishment of saving money and getting value, while also culling services we don't actually need. Now, research has shown that 71% of us could benefit financially. On average, young people wait 5 weeks to cancel an unused subscription or membership, compared to older folk who normally wait 4. Brighton is apparently the savviest UK city, waiting only 2 weeks, compared to people in Bristol who hold out for 5 weeks before switching. The beginning of April is normally when prices hike, so it's time to take a look at our outgoings, weed out extra costs and save money. And joining us now is Juliet Lando-Pope, productivity and time management coach.
Morning, Chris.
Tell us a bit about what exactly a productivity and time management coach does.
So my work involves helping people make the best use of their time and helping them deal with that feeling of overwhelm when there's too much to do, when you've either got too much to do on your to-do list or when you don't quite know how to prioritize the things that you need to get done. So I work with people who are self-employed, who are managing their own time, or people who are retired and want to make the best use of the time that they have at home or while they're out and about. And I work with teenagers as well, helping them learn time management and organizing skills. I think they're life skills. And if you can learn to monitor your time, make the best use of it, prioritize, and learn from your mistakes as well as from your, then you can do almost anything in life. So I think they're tremendous life skills.
Talking about saving money, what exactly is Price Hike Day?
So Price Hike Day is the day when new inflation figures are usually applied to many of the everyday goods and services that we use. So that's the day when the price of postage stamps might go up, and many of subscription services like television channels, broadband, mobile phones, and so on, they will be reviewed. And that's why it's a great opportunity, especially now when many of us are home, or most of us are home, to have a look at the subscriptions that you're paying for, look at your bills and your invoices and your household expenditure, and take stock of what we call the life admin, the paperwork. It might be paperwork, it might be coming in through your inbox, but taking charge of some of the things that you might have been neglecting, not only in order to save money, but also to kind of regain control of some of the things that you might have been neglecting. And so it's a really good way of staying on top of things.
So is it sort of things like magazine subscriptions and...
Yes, it could be anything that you're paying for on an ongoing basis. It might be a physical product like a magazine or a newspaper, or it might be a digital service. You might have signed up for something and either forgotten about it or not making great use of it and thinking maybe it's not, you know, an essential service right now. Or maybe you could be on a different tariff. You might be, you know, looking to upgrade or downgrade. This research from Freeview shows that 71% of British households could save money by reviewing some of this life admin. And so that's a tremendous incentive. But it's not just about our financial well-being. It's also about our mental health and emotional well-being. So many of us right now are feeling anxious and uncertain, and the world is changing and there's so much that we can't control at the moment. So taking stock of your finances, looking at perhaps reducing some of your household bills or cutting back on some of your subscriptions, cancelling a newsletter or a magazine that you're no longer looking at, can give you a tremendous sense of achievement. You know, you can feel like you're getting something done, which is very good for you, not just financially, but also good for you mentally.
So it's altogether a good plan to sweep things into the bin that have been laying around for a long time. Do you think it reduces stress and anxiety as well?
Yes, no doubt about that. I mean, this research from Freeview does show that over almost a third of people say that when they tackle some of these tasks, they feel better and it helps to reduce anxiety. I see that every day in the work that I do when people clear some of their physical clutter in their home or some of the digital clutter on their computers, it helps you to create some headspace as well. It's less to think about, less to worry about, and it's definitely very motivating and it definitely helps to deal with anxiety.
Can people get some more information on the web?
Yes, there's more information and lots of tips on www.freeview.co.uk/news-blog.
Julia, thanks very much for joining us, and have a good day and keep safe.
Thank you. You too, Chris. Take care. Bye.
Julia Landau-Pope was telling us all about how we can use our enforced time at home to sort out our finances and save some cash. Now over to Richard.
Thanks, Chris. Now, those listeners who heard the last edition of At Home This Morning a fortnight ago will remember that he spoke to Daniel Thirkelson, who'd set up an organisation in Brighton and Hove called Brighton Mutual Aid. The aim of the organisation was to provide practical help to those people, especially older people, of course, who, because of the coronavirus crisis, are now unable to get out to do tasks such as shopping, walking the dogs, and collecting prescriptions from the chemists. That organisation has now changed its name. It's now called Brighton and Hove Mutual Aid. It's got a new website, which is brightonmutualaid.co.uk. That's brightonmutualaid.co.uk. But their phone number is still the same, 07872 023446. That's 07872 023446. Now, as we also mentioned in the last edition of At Home This Morning, the charity Age UK have actually set up something similar. But their service goes a bit further, in that they provide not just groceries and medication, but also such things as knitting kits, CDs and DVDs, books and jigsaws, to stave off the boredom of being confined to the house for 24 hours a day. They also provide a service where they will ring up lonely people and talk to them on a daily basis. And in some cases, they will even supply a limited amount of free food to people whose supplies have run out and who haven't got the money on hand to be able to buy more. In order to find out more about the service, I spoke on the phone to Rowan Hillier, who's organising it for them, and I began by asking her how long the service had been going for.
The scheme has been running the last couple of weeks. since the government's advised that people are staying at home and that people have been unable to get out and do their shopping, this is our response to it. We've had to change several times as the guidance has changed quite rapidly, as I'm sure lots of people are aware of. But I think we're starting to settle in to a routine now, although, of course, we will keep adapting as guidance keeps changing.
And how does the scheme work?
Anyone can call in to us on 01903 731 800 and they'll be put through to our call team who are sort of working out where people need to go. We have various teams. We're aware that for some people this is really isolating and quite a difficult time not being able to catch up with others. So we have people in our team who can provide a daily or weekly telephone call and just check in with how people are doing, having a little chat. And then we also have a team who are able to provide shopping, food deliveries, dog walking, prescription deliveries, all of those things. So you just need to give us a call and have a chat.
So if people phone in to ask you to provide this service, so where does it go from there?
Generally, you'll phone in and you'll be spoken to by one of our phone team. They'll take the details and pass you on to the appropriate team, whether it's the shopping or the telephone befriending team. And you'll get a call back shortly. So it will be, you know, as quick as we can come back to you. Once we've got that referral through, we'll give you a call back and have a chat about what your needs are. So then it's just a conversation. And then, as I said, we can, at the moment, we're able to set something up. Once we've had notification that you've run out of supplies, we can set something up for someone to do some shopping for you with about 2 to 3 days' notice. You'd still pay for it up front, so we're asking for payment up front, and then our volunteers and staff go off and do the shopping and then come back with it, and we'll take it from there.
So that's one service that you provide for people who aren't able to get out by doing such things as going shopping for them or collecting prescriptions or even walking the dog. And when it's shopping, of course, they have to pay up front. So they don't get their groceries free. They just get them delivered free, as it were. But I gather that in certain circumstances, you're also actually giving away groceries and other essential supplies to people. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
We do have a very limited stock in Brighton of some essential food, but as people are aware, it is really limited. So we do have some support for people who are really, they've run out of cash, run out of food and everything, and we can probably get them a small supply just to last them a couple of days while they get things sorted. But otherwise, yes, it is a paid-for service, as in you'll be paying for your shopping. But the actual shopping service is free. It's all done by our volunteers and staff.
Now, I noticed in the press release that came around that you're asking for people to donate things, not just food, but things like CDs and DVDs and knitting kits and that sort of thing. How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. As I've said, we've got very limited stock here in Brighton, and it is actually better if the more stock we have, the quicker we can get food out to people, because it means that our deliveries can just go straight from, you know, we don't have to do all the shopping time and the queues and things. So the more food we have here, the better, because it means we can just get food out to people. And the same with DVDs and knitting. Obviously, it's a really difficult time for people not being able to get out and about. So what we've been doing is trying to put together little bags of bits just to keep people going, little bags of joy. So we've been popping books and DVDs in packages for people and knitting patterns just to keep people amused during this time.
And you're asking members of the public to donate the things that you're going to be sending out.
Yes, if possible. You're welcome to drop them round. We are in the Seven Dials at 29 to 31 Prestonville Road, BN13TJ. People can come between Monday and Friday between 10 and 3, and there'll be someone in to take deliveries for people.
And they don't need to make an appointment, they just need to turn up.
It's probably best just to turn up.
What sort of things do you particularly want people to donate?
Basic food is really great for us. Bags of pasta, bags of rice, tins of sweets, tinned vegetables, toiletries are also really helpful. Any toilet rolls are always greatly appreciated. And then, yes, again, anything like DVDs or knitting wool and knitting needles, that's also... and any crafty things or puzzles, anything that people have knocking about that they think an older person may enjoy, just passing on so that they can keep busy with their time at home.
And presumably this scheme is going to carry on operating for some time now.
We believe so. So I think initially we've scheduled this out for the next sort of 11 weeks, and then we'll be following further government guidance as to how long this continues.
OK, one further thing. Are you actually looking for volunteers to go out and do the shopping and the distribution and so on?
Yes, we've had an incredible, overwhelming response of people who'd like to volunteer and support us, and we can't thank them enough. It's been really helpful, and yes, we're always looking to hear from people who would like to support us. As you can imagine, there's lots of people looking to volunteer for us at the moment, so it's just taking us a little bit of time to get people set up and going. But I think, as you say, this scheme is going to need to run for several months now, and it's definitely something we need to keep our volunteers coming through to support us in the long term.
So if anyone's interested in volunteering, they should phone you once again on 01903 731 800, presumably.
That's it. Perfect. Thank you.
OK, well, thanks very much, Rowan, and all the very best for the success of the scheme.
Thanks very much, and thanks for talking to us.
I've been talking to Rowan Hillier of Age UK about the service that they provide to help out elderly and disabled people during the current coronavirus crisis. If you want to make use of the service, you can phone them on 01903 731 800, or you can email them, and the email address is information@ageukwestsussex.org.uk. That's information@ageukwestsussex.org.uk. And if you'd like to volunteer to help out with the scheme, then you should contact Age UK in the same way as I've just described. Now here's Maya Davis with some more information.
Everyone's invoking the Blitz spirit at present. Unfortunately, there's another side to wartime. As seen in the past, both in Graham Greene's novel and Hitchcock film, The Third Man, and in Private Walker of Dad's Army, that is, people trying to make a profit out of a crisis. In both press and broadcast media, there are now warnings about frauds and scams. Here are some examples. Emails. Apparently from the World Health Organization or the United Nations, with attachments labelled Health Advice. A research scientist from the World Health Organization has noticed that these match previous scam emails from a known criminal source. There are similar emails claiming to be from HMRC or from the Benefits Agency. There are emails threatening to infect the recipient's family and friends with coronavirus if they don't pay $4,000 by Bitcoin. Now, this is a new version of a previous blackmail scam, which suggests or implies that the sender is aware of pornographic content viewed or posted by the recipient. Worryingly, the email sometimes suggests that the sender knows at least one of the recipient's passwords. And then there are emails claiming to be from the Department of Education, asking for parents' financial details in order to provide additional childcare benefits. Well, as you'd expect, the aim of these fraudsters is mainly to obtain your bank details. But some just want to get their grubby little paws on your money. There are more basic scams too. People knocking on your door, offering to collect groceries for you. Obviously, as well as taking your money, these people are undermining the good service offered by Age Concern and locally by Brighton Mutual Aid, whom we featured in a previous programme. Not to mention the new national volunteer scheme launched by the government. There are people claiming to be healthcare professionals, offering home testing for coronavirus there and then. Well, the Chartered Trading Standards Institute have issued a warning about these, and their advice is just don't open the door to these people. There are online shopping scams, offering face masks and other protective clothing. People pay for these up front, and the fraudsters just take your money, and of course, by then, they have some of your financial information. National organisations have been issuing warnings about the extent of fraud. These organisations include the Financial Conduct Authority, the National Cybersecurity Centre, the National Crime Agency, and Action Fraud. Now, you can report suspected fraud to Action Fraud on 0300 123 2040. That's 0300 123 2040. They're open only Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And what will happen is that they will contact the police. They're linked to the National Fraud Intelligence Bureau and the City of London Police. If you prefer a web chat with one of their advisers, then this is available too, but only from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m, again Monday to Friday. You can find out more information online about Action Fraud by going to actionfraudalert.co.uk. I'll repeat that, www.actionfraudalert.co.uk. I hope that information is useful to you, and please try not to fall victim to any of these extremely unpleasant and heartless people.
Thanks, Maya. And now it's back to Chris to introduce the last item in the programme.
Thanks to Richard and Maya for all that information. And now for our final item in this programme, we return to September last year, when I had the pleasure of chatting to the much-loved Roy Hudd, who was then in rehearsals for a new version of A Woman of No Importance. And when I asked Roy if it was a new play, he was very quick to put me right.
Not really. It's by Oscar Wilde, no less.
A new for you? Have you been doing it before?
No, this is a brand new departure for me. I've never done an Oscar Wilde play before. But there was a real sweetener for it because Oscar Wilde is one of my favourites. I have to say that. Always when people say to me, who said this? And if you always reply Oscar Wilde, 19 times out of 20, you're right. He wrote some great sort of one-liners, and there's some lovely ones in this. He described a fox hunt, he said, as the unspeakable in pursuit of the uneatable.
I didn't know that was an Oscar Wilde quote.
Ah, there you are. You see, I do that quote-unquote on radio quite often, you know. And if they say, who said this, I always say Oscar Wilde. I mostly get a point, whether I've heard it before or not. Does he write lovely, lovely language and lovely gags, lovely observations and all that stuff. And this is different because it's Oscar Wilde really banging the drum for the women of Victorian ages because they were treated so badly, you know. A bit sort of, I suppose it becomes contemporary in a way when you think of the Me Too or, you know, gatherings that are going on everywhere because the Victorians, of course, treated their women not very well at all. They were chattels, my goods and chattels were women. He's banging the drum for them to get a proper deal and everything. So it's rather good. And the sweetener for me of doing an Oscar Wilde play was not really my style of performing at all. But I said, it's only a very small part. And they said, doesn't matter. We're using three songs in it.
Wow.
So I do, you see. And of that period, the Victorian period, right up my street. Old musical songs, except these are rather nice ones, you know. So I do three songs, and that clinched the job for me. So I was there.
Tell me, Roy, did you ever appear at the Brighton Hippodrome?
Never at the Brighton Hippodrome. It was just that little touch before my time. My great sort of link with Brighton really was when I first came into show business, the first variety show I did was with Max Miller at the Top of the Bill.
Wow.
At the Finsbury Park Empire. And I always loved everything because my gran brought me up and she was a huge fan of Max's. So she always took me to see all over London whenever Max was on. You know, so they formed the Max Miller Appreciation Society, you see, in Brighton, as I'm sure you know about, Chris.
Totally.
Yeah, so they asked me if I'd be the president of it. And, I was a huge fan of Max, and having done work with him as well, I immediately jumped at it because he was the greatest front cloth comedian I ever saw. Well, him and Ken Dodd were the two greatest. So I said, yes, I'd love to be the president, and they're a lovely lot, and it's growing all the time. Now, it doesn't sound right to say the Max Miller Appreciation Society is growing all the time, but you see the new comics and new wave fans of variety and comedy and all that, they worship Max because of the marvellous recordings he made, sound recordings, and one or two films, but the sound recordings he made were a great example of what front cloth comedy is all about, and he was the absolute master. So I was delighted to be the president, and they told me, almost the first thing they told me was, we're trying to get a statue of Max, for Brighton, because he was one of Brighton's great names. So they said, but we haven't got enough money yet. I said, oh, well, you know. They said, will you help us raise some money? So I said, I'll try. And I wrote to everybody I knew in show business. And 99% of them sent donations because they all were fans of Max. So almost they paid for the statue. And people of Brighton, of course. And what a smashing statue it is. Myself and Jim Whitfield and George Melly opened the statue. We pulled the cloth off and revealed Max in all his glory. And it's a smashing statue. And it now faces theatre.
Which is great.
He's indicating to anyone who looks at him, that's where you should go, to the theatre. Lovely.
And where you will be with a woman of no importance.
Indeed we will, yes. It's a smashing cast, Lisa Goddard and Isla Blair and lots of sort of buddies I've known over the years. So it'll be a nice team, I think.
Absolutely. And tell us a bit about A Woman of No Importance. What's the storyline?
Well, the storyline, I don't give it away because it's a smashing story. As I say, it is really a woman who's been badly treated. And I don't mean abused or anything like that, but she's been, if you like, she's been put up the duff by someone who is rather upmarket and posh. And that's the start of the story. What happens to them? Do they get together? Do they part like ships in the night? Or you'll never know until the very end of the play. It's a terrifically melodramatic story.
And I look forward to it at the Theatre Royal. Now, Roy, you're possibly best known to our listeners to The Hudlines.
Oh, indeed, yeah.
Do you sort of wish those days could come back?
Well, I do. I felt it was wrong that they took it off because it was one of the most popular shows, and we did 26 years on Radio 2 with it. 26 years, which is sort of a record for a show, a comedy show with an audience on radio. So that was very, very nice.
So what is it about comedy that it is your lifeblood, obviously?
Yeah.
So what makes you, what's that spark?
Well, I think the thing is, it is the greatest feeling in the world is to get a laugh. We all know that. If you stand up in the, don't even stand up in the pub, but if you're in a pub with a couple of mates and you tell a story and it gets a laugh, it makes you feel terrific. And so to actually get paid for trying to get laughs is the best thing of the lot as a performer. And comedy is, it's dateless. It really is, you know. The best comedy is dateless. Even though you say, with A Woman of No Importance, if you like, it's a play that really echoes, or we really echoed the play with the news headlines, which was always topical and talked about events that were important and all that sort of stuff. That's what we did in the headlines for 26 years. And here I am, going back to Georgian times to do a similar thing.
Roy, that's been wonderful. Thank you very much for joining us.
Chris, thanks a lot, love, and I hope you enjoy the show when we're there.
That was a wonderful, much-loved and greatly missed Roy Hudd just last September on the eve of his appearance in the Oscar Wilde play A Woman of No Importance. And that brings us to the end of this edition of At Home This Morning, a magazine programme that's brought to you by Brighton's only truly local radio station, Radio Reverb, broadcasting on 97.2 FM, on digital radio, on your smart speaker, and online at www.radioreverb.com. So, until we next meet over the airwaves in about 4 weeks' time, it's goodbye from me. However, don't forget that Richard will be here with his next show in just 2 weeks. There's just time for me to repeat those all-important contact details. For information on how you can find out more about pet care in relation to coronavirus, go to www.bluecross.org.uk. You can find out the latest news and find that newsletter from the Bluebell Railway at www.bluebell-railway.co.uk. For the past hour, you've been listening to At Home This Morning, which is a Grey Matters production for Radio Reverb. And here, as usual, I must thank my executive producer, Richard Davis, for putting the programme together. But my final thanks must go to you, our listener. And just before I say goodbye, may I remind you that you can listen again to a selection of some of the recent editions of At Home This Morning by simply visiting our website at www.greymattersproductions.org.uk. Until we next meet over the airwaves in about 4 weeks' time, this is Chris English signing off with my usual message. Please stay at home, keep safe, dry, warm, and at all costs avoid that nasty virus. Bye for now.